This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show!
Spoiler alert! What Did You Watch This Week is a candid discussion about recent movies and TV shows, and it may contain spoilers if you haven't watched them yet. Listen at your own risk.
Episode 148. What did you watch this week? This is Mike.
And this is John over here.
And we're going to talk about shows and stuff.
Yes. More of an emphasis on stuff this week. I didn't have a lot of shows that I watched.
I don't remember what I watched.
Good thing you took notes.
I didn't take notes.
We could be in trouble.
I mean, I have like my ongoing notes list, but I just don't remember what I watched and what I didn't watch, truthfully.
Okay. Well, so dive right in. Mike, what did you watch this week?
I know I didn't watch the CW shows.
Okay.
Because I caught up until last week's.
I don't think I did either.
And I didn't watch any since then.
Like, I know that Flash was on last night. We're recording Wednesday night.
Yeah.
Flash was on last night, but I didn't watch it.
And for some reason, like, a lot of the shows weren't on last week.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because I like kept checking my Hulu to see if I had episodes to watch, and I didn't.
Nope. Yeah, it was kind of a late week for shows, which, honestly, I didn't mind as much, because we're also, like, we recorded Thursday, so we had Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, and we were going to record last night, but then storm.
Yeah.
That was storm. Yeah.
I picked up on that.
And now it's Wednesday, so we're recording. So we didn't have a lot of time in between. It's not like a lot of shows come on in that, you know, big block of weekend.
Yeah. I'm all caught up on The Passage. Well, okay. I did not watch this week's.
Oh. You missed a good one.
But I watched them. I guess I had two to watch because I had watched the first two episodes.
Yep. So you got to see the one where they built the treehouse?
Yes. The last one I had seen was them getting captured. So I picked up where that left off.
Yep.
I got to see them building the treehouse, her being injected with the vial, the head of security, douche, getting manipulated by the girl vampire.
Getting to see her whole backstory, which was...
Getting to see her backstory, yeah.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. Like, we only knew that these were all death row inmate type of people.
Yeah.
But hers... They made it out to be so that she was sympathetic, almost justified, but not
she
quite.
She murdered her mom and stepdad.
Yeah, she murdered her mom and stepdad because her stepdad was abusing her, like sexually abusing her, which if she had murdered him, it would have been kind of justified. You would have been like, all right, scumbag taken off the streets by the person he was wronging. But first she murdered her mom because she told her mom, and her mom was just like, yeah.
Her mom basically accused her of leading him on.
Yeah.
And then she was, six.
Yeah. And said that she kind of knew all along and didn't do anything to stop it. So she just lashed out and stabbed her mom in the gut. And then went after stepdad. She was like, well, I've jumped into the deep end now. I might as well go for it.
Which, realistically, yeah, might as well.
Yeah. She's a good character, though. I'm really digging how, like, outwardly in the real world, they're all... almost catatonic. Like, they can't talk, they can't do anything, they can eat, and that's about it.
That was the other thing they were discussing in these episodes was the way she killed the staff worker, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
The guy that he was, and he was a dick to her.
Yeah.
And they're like, wait a second, this is a revenge killing? That's impossible.
Yeah, you were closer, why didn't she go for you? Well, I've always been nice to her.
Yep. And she knows, whatever, the head guy... Fanning owns me.
Yeah.
I belong to Fanning. What?
Yeah. So they're kind of coming to realize that, you know, staff members are being controlled by these vampires that are not vampires.
I do like the episode where Mark Pogosar actually says, why don't you just call them vampires? He's like, because we're scientists.
Yeah.
And vampires aren't real. And Garcelle is just like, Okay.
Yeah. It's like, if it walks like a duck, quacks like a duck. This last episode was really, really good. One of the things that I love about this show is that the characters do believable things.
Yep.
Like, they do realistic things, unlike Manifest, which is just 10 pounds of dog shit in a 3-pound
bag. I fell asleep with us watching Manifest
today. Hard. Like, usually you fall asleep multiple times, but, you know, you kind of, like, wake up. And this time we're, like, actively talking, and you're just like...
Yeah, well, I only slept a few hours last night and then had 8 inches of snow to deal with. And
Manifest is awful.
Tried to sleep again. You know what did it for me this week? Right off the beginning, wife, I'm so glad we're family again. Yeah, me too. And I think I screamed out, fuck you, yeah. TV. And I was like, I was done.
Yeah. It's ridiculous how they flipped the script on that in like 2 episodes. Just, I'm so glad we're back together. Danny, we haven't heard hide nor hair from Danny. Yeah. Nothing. None of this like him showing up going, hey, so I thought we were getting back together or anything.
The show's just not good.
No, it's terrible. It's absolute dog shit. Funny story. I was talking to my sister the other day. We were catching up on some shows. And, she's like, okay, so I'm just about caught up on Manifest. She just hadn't seen the episode with the wolf.
Oh, yeah.
And she's like, that CGI of them standing in the desert looking up at the starry sky, she goes, that was terrible. I go, just you wait. And my mother was there, and she's like, so – do you guys not like this show? I was like, oh, I fucking hate this show. It's dog shit. It's a piece of shit. I hate watch it every week. And my sister's like, yeah, I don't like it either. The more I've seen of it, I don't like it. My mother's like, oh, thank God. And I'm like, what? She's like, I've been forcing myself to watch it like 10, 20 minutes at a time, and I can only get through so much, and I stop. And I'm like, if they like it, then I should be able to talk to them about it. But, oh, thank God, I'm going to go delete all of them. Please do. Like, I didn't know why you guys like that show. It's so awful.
It's really terrible.
Yeah. And so it'll probably get like 5 more seasons.
Probably.
This week they introduced what Quantum Leap would have had as the evil leaper. They introduced the criminal who is getting callings and decided, oh, wait, I can use this to my advantage.
So did they find the bomb?
Yeah.
How?
He told them where it was. And he looked at Michaela and said, I hope you don't get yourself in a twist. And the bomb was in a pretzel cart. In Times Square. Then they opened up the bottom of the pretzel cart, and it was just like 3 bricks of C4 with a little timer and like 5 wires. And the bomb squad guys, the cops went out and went, hey, everybody back, everybody back. Nobody pulled out their phone to film it. You know, nobody like said, what are you doing here? They just, oh, okay, yep, we'll step back. And the cops made a whole 10-foot perimeter. Like, really, really good. The entire, like, first 5 rows of people would have been absolutely murdered by this blast.
Nice.
So, Michaela and Captain Douchebag Cop there, yeah, her boyfriend.
I thought Ben would be disarming this bomb.
I would have expected it. But 2 bomb squad guys went in there, and one of them looks down, sees the 5 wires, takes his snippers, puts it over 1 red wire... There's like 4 red wires, and just goes, snip, and the timer turns off. And the other guy stands up and puts his thumbs up and goes, we're good. We're all good. They didn't inspect it. They didn't see if there was a secondary trigger, pressure plate, anything like that. He's just like, yep, we're good. Everybody cry back in.
So did the bad guy get his deal?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he got his deal. And he told Michaela, he's like, you have no idea what these callings could be. I'm going to bring him to a new level. And Ben already figured out by talking to his wife that the reason that he has this is to show them all that the callings can be used for evil as well as good. Yeah. Yeah. Bet you didn't see that twist coming, did you? Hope you don't get yourself in a twist.
I'm good.
Yeah. Yeah. I made the comment tonight that nobody in the writing staff knows what subtlety is because there's not one shred of subtlety in this show. Everything is over the top, overly dramatic, obtuse bullshit. But The Passage, on the other hand, is awesome, and I really like it. And the people are realistic, and they do realistic things. So I'm going to keep on with that.
Okay, so I watched You're the Worst.
Oh.
I caught up on that.
Awesome.
I watched the three most recent episodes, what it comes down to, where Jimmy finds out about Gretchen's credit card debt, and she finally talks to her mom and tells her, I saw the part, he's like, you're 50-50, I'm flushing the toilet to go to the bathroom. How do you figure out how to pay 70 credit cards a month? You don't actually pay for them.
It's not real money.
Yeah. I see the next episode, Jimmy gets that check for $700,000 and freaks out about it.
And everybody wants a piece of it.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
I liked it. Just Lindsay walks in and goes, why do I want to suck your dick?
And then when he uses it to pay off the mortgage, she's like, I don't want to suck your dick anymore.
Yeah, yeah. I do like the Gretchen. You know, I don't, what should she say? Like, I love you. I don't love stuff.
Yeah.
Something like that. So, and then the next episode, or the most recent episode, called The Very Good Boy.
God.
Gretchen makes fun of Jimmy for being boring. Oh, you go and you sit in the coffee shop and you use your outlet and you da-da-da-da.
Make sure you get your outlet.
Yeah. And so while he's picking out the floor arrangements, the girl that brought them over, who works the floor, is like, she's kind of a dick at first until he's just like, my wife doesn't even care about this. And she's like, I'm sorry, you know, I'm late going somewhere. Where are you headed to? Apparently a headbanging concert or whatever.
Mosh pitting, friggin'.
And Jimmy goes, because he's got to try to prove he's a bad boy. He does a few things throughout the episode that are lame to try to prove he's
like trying to run away with the guy's laptop. And then he takes it right back.
Right. And he gets in the mosh pit, gets jacked around by a bunch of different people and everything, and really kind of takes a pounding, and then runs, like, heads off and goes in the bathroom and has this revelation. And then the florist follows him. She's like, oh my God, how did you survive that? That was crazy. And she just has this huge outburst, emotional outburst of how he doesn't need to be a bad boy, how it's great that he's predictable and
he's ready to settle down. He's ready to be a grown up.
And on and on. And then he looks down and he's getting head from the girl.
Yeah.
And that's how they end the episode.
Something interesting, too, in those last two episodes, that one and the one before.
Oh, sorry. Also, Gretchen kind of
fell into a new job
previously. And then now she had to, like, they're supposed to. Where this tally she works at is supposed to produce new people to be new clients, and she recommends this like emo douchebag DJ guy only because her and Jimmy had looked at him earlier the day about being the DJ at their wedding.
Uh-huh.
And she had nothing.
Knock knock.
Yeah, knock knock. And she had nothing to present, so she just threw that guy out there, and they end up signing this guy.
Yeah.
And then in the previous episode, she had to do this thing where she was hiring a new. Personal or
publicist
for the band that she's been doing all episodes.
Yeah.
And she ends up going out and getting drunk and makes out with some random guy.
Yep.
So granted, Jimmy getting head is probably worse than her kissing somebody, but they're both not really being 100% faithful to each other.
Right. But they are the worst.
So. They are the worst. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then, like you said, we seem to be seeing some fast forwarding.
Mm. Yeah, we see, like, at the end of the second to the most recent episode, Jimmy selling the house.
You know,
he had just paid it off with that check, and now realtor's selling the house for him.
Well, not only that, he gives Gretchen a present of her new car.
Yes. Yep.
And then
that's all stove up.
And cut to him getting out of that car, and it's kind of stove up, and, yeah, the house is in escrow.
Yep.
And then the next episode, we see her kind of, like, showing up at a hotel. And getting a suite.
Signing in under her name.
Yeah. And she's not wearing a ring. They make it a point to show she has no ring on.
Yeah.
She goes in and she takes, like, the key to the minibar, takes out all the water, Gatorade, and soda. And no booze, no wine, no nothing. Locks it and then locks it back up and throws the key out. So she's either not drinking or trying not to drink.
Right. And then she pulls all the shades.
Yeah.
So that it's pitch black in the room and jumps under the covers.
Yeah.
And then we go back to modern times. So.
Yep.
So, yeah, it's interesting. I love the Hunger Games thing that she did with all the girls that were trying to be the publicist. Yeah, she got her job because she stole the office there. She, like, saw that the office didn't have anybody sitting in it, so she ran there. And when some guy tried to say that it was his, she accused him of being a sexual predator.
Yeah.
And it turns out he's been that way for years.
And he got arrested, and he was a sexual predator. And so she, like, again,
these girls, thank you so much, blah, blah, blah. And he's like, oh, my God, he was really a bad guy?
Yeah.
Yeah. She just accused some guy to get him out of the office, and next thing you know.
So she called dibs on the office.
Yeah.
She somehow got the promotion.
So. Yeah. Good things happen to bad people.
Yeah.
That's the lesson we're learning.
What did you watch?
I did catch up, except for the most recent Project Blue Book.
I have not watched last week's yet.
I watched that one that you were telling me about.
Paperclip.
With the Nazis. Yeah. That one really, like, before that, it was, oh, these might be aliens, they might not. Oh, it might be a UFO.
Yeah.
This one was straight up, this is a motherfucking UFO.
Yes.
And they made it teleport at the end.
Yeah.
Like, they're like, did it teleport? Did it disintegrate? What happened? Is it invisible? And he's like, it worked.
Yeah.
Wow. I mean, that's just like,
yeah,
we were stepping up gradually, and now it's just like
big
they
jump.
Jumped.
Great show, though.
Still, it is a great show, yeah. Yeah, I really enjoy it. Again, I like the factualness to it. They've renewed it for a second season already, so.
We did not have an Orville to watch, I believe, right?
Oh, we did.
Yeah. Was there a Blacklist? I think I remember watching Blacklist.
There were two episodes of Blacklist because we hadn't watched the one before. So we had Alter Ego, which was the one about the company that sells you the services of people who can pretend to be boyfriend, girlfriend, long-lost brother, okay, anything like that.
I didn't see that one.
And then the most recent one was The Ethicist, the guy who...
Oh, shit. I skipped an episode then.
Oh, you skipped Alter Ego?
I watched The Pawnbrokers. I never watched Alter Egos, but I did watch The Ethicist, the guy that basically... Which, this was fascinating, but he decides who should live or die based on mathematic calculation. And I
of
wish,
their worth.
Of their worth, yeah. Yeah.
Not just like their dollar worth, but like what they've done for the world, what they will do in the future.
Say what they could do.
Yep.
Who has a higher benefit.
Yep.
And has no problem killing men, women, children, old people, young people, don't matter.
Yep.
If his, even when it came down to him and Elizabeth, which one was worth more, and he determined it was her,
exactly.
He killed himself.
Yeah.
Yeah, and his job, he would kill people but make it look like an accident.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was fascinating. I always loved those parts of the philosophy classes that I took.
Yeah.
When you discuss that, you know, the old train coming down the tracks.
Yes.
You know, and there's five people at the end of the tracks. You could flip the switch and it will divert off and it'll kill one person. So do you do that? Kill one person instead of five? And then you discuss, you know, well, you're murdering them. You know, you just let the train go and it kills five people, then that's just the train killing five people. But, you know, so is it murder? Is it this? It was, those were always some of my favorite discussions because, I don't know. Why are you scowling?
Well, I'm reading the synopsis here on Alter Ego. Reddington challenges the legitimacy of the search that led to the discovery of the gun. And
yes.
A subsequent arrest in court, the judge denies him access to listen to the recording.
Yep. Yeah, that was Alter Ego. That was what was happening while they were tracking down the... basically, there's this guy that came to see Reddington and told him that this group is going to be voting. And that he'll, you know, he's like, I've invested millions and millions of dollars in you. And, oh, no, he saw Dembe. And Dembe was like, yeah, we've always turned a profit on it. He's like, so you're going to vote for Raymond. And he's like, all right. And then these people break into his house and kill him and his family and stage it to look like a gas leak accident.
Mm-hmm.
And he has a long-lost son that he had just written into the will recently because he decided he wanted to reconnect. And, you know, these people work for this organization that, you know, it's a legitimate business where they pretend to be somebody, you know, gay guy. Gets married to this woman so that his family will leave him alone so that he can now go out. And it was interesting, but yeah.
I'm going to go back and watch it.
Yeah, Reddington trying to see or hear the recording of the person who dropped the tip on him.
I enjoyed Reddington requesting the court for a psychological evaluation.
Mm-hmm.
That was hilarious. So they sent him to Missouri because there's some guy he wants to talk to find out where his friend is or... your associate, but we never find out who it is, but he slowly weans this guy off his antipsychotics.
Oh my God.
And then the guy basically wants to rip the doctor's tongue out and shove it in her ass and on and on and on. But I love Reddington. Like, oh, fine, show me the ink blots. Just I'll let you know right in advance. They all look like genitalia to me. There we go. You know. So,
and then he messes up because he saves
her. He saves her, and she's like, "That proves to me that you know you put yourself in danger to save me." And so,
yep.
But she basically also calls him out, says like, "You're pretending to be someone you're not," and yada yada, which you know. Which that's what they're trying to lead us to believe, that he's not actually Reddington.
Right. Right. And in The Ethicist, what it was the guy that they were tracking down, he had a life before this where he was a doctor where he killed people. He killed like 15 different people, and it was all based on his ethical conundrums there, where he would say, you know, you're better off dead. The world is better off dead because your balance sheet essentially is – you know, you're going to do more harm to the world than good, or saving your life would not benefit the world in a good way.
Or like any medicine that we give you is just going to prolong your life, but it's not going to save your life in the long run. Whereas opposed, if we give that medicine to this other person, it will save their life and they'll lead a better life than you and provide, you know, in his equation will be better for the world than you will be. With your life being prolonged, wasting this medicine.
But the main reason that Liz started this case and did not, it was not Reddington that started it, was because this is the guy who was there when Reddington was at the doctor getting his plastic surgery. So if they're like, this is the one person who would have seen him before the plastic surgery would know who he is. And he basically told her, he's like, nope, I don't. He's like, but there's a gun in the cabinet. You let me kill myself and I will give you the name of the nurse who saw us. And she will know who he is. So she got that name, and she's going down a dark path, and Wrestler knows.
Yeah.
You know, because he called her out. He's like, you said
he called her point blank. Well, I think you misled us, and then you were there, and the only thing I got is, did you kill him? No, but I let him kill himself.
Yeah. Well, he's like, since Reddington's been in the hospital, he's not allowed phone calls. So all those times you said you were talking to him on the phone, you lied.
Yeah.
And he covers for her. You know, she says, don't tell Donald.
Well, the thing is because he asks Donald's the boss.
Yeah.
You know, doesn't it bother you that Reddington has these da 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 da? And he's just like, no, it doesn't. I live with my hand in the sand. No, but he's basically like, the way I look at it is that Reddington does stuff that's probably not good, and he looks out for himself. However, we have saved thousands of lives and arrested countless many people that we never would have arrested without him. So. Essentially, he's almost like the ethicist weighing the good and the bad, and, and the good's outweighing the bad.
Which is pretty much what a lot of this show is about.
Yeah.
You know, and that's what the trial is about now is, you know, this guy has done so much good, but he's also done a lot of evil. He actually, I watched both episodes pretty close to each other, so I'm not sure, but, Reddington, she tells him that he should have a lawyer in the alter ego episode. She's like, I'm telling you, you should have a lawyer. And he goes, no, I want to represent myself. She's like, that's foolish. And he goes, look, your job is to uphold the law. My job is to break the law. I assume you've studied your end of it. Why wouldn't you assume I've studied mine? I know about this stuff. I am perfectly capable of defending myself. But, you know, he talks about that, I think, in the Ethicist episode where, you know, she says, you know, you need to know why what you did was wrong. And he's like, I don't know if I did. You know, the people that I killed, the people that I did things to. Runaway train kills people.
Yeah.
Diabetes kills people. How are we to say that those are evil or good? So, yeah, it was a great couple episodes. Digging it.
Nice. What else did you... entertain your eyes with
Brooklyn Nine-Nine. I'll say I still love this show. They return every season. They've got to return at least once to Craig Robinson's character, Doug Judy. He was originally the Pontiac Bandit, an elusive criminal who stole cars and they could never catch him. Now he comes back at least once a season, and he's always reformed. And now it's to the point where him and Jake are like best friends. So I always look forward to when he comes back. It was a great episode. It's always great episodes.
I finished Punisher.
Okay.
I know you haven't watched any of it yet.
Correct.
I'll say this. It's really good.
Yeah?
Yeah. See, there's a part of me that, like, when he gets into fights with people who are also trained, mm-hmm. and he struggles, it's different because you're used to seeing, like, the bad guy or the good guy, whatever, you know, the main character like that in whatever movie you're watching is just an ass kicker, like, solidly.
Yep.
But he takes a whooping. And he, granted, at the end, he, you know, he comes out on top typically, but not straight away. It takes a while to get there, which it's as believable as it can be, considering, you know. But there's this one particular scene where he's in the bar and he's with fighting people that are also kind of trained, but not as well trained as he is. And you're watching a videotape of it, like the security camera of it, and you notice, like, he squares off with a guy and kind of does a shoulder shrug and goes like he makes a barks at him to get his attention. And then they, you know, and one of the bad guys or whatever this year sees him watching goes, looks like someone's dog's off their leash. Right? That's how he describes Frank, you know, yep. as being a dog, you know, someone's almost kind of like, yeah, he works for the government or whatever it is. Yeah, he has a and this is also like the ethicist where in this show where he has a moral set of values that he lives by, and the cop's like, but he's still a criminal, and the Homeland Security agent, she's like, yeah, but is he really?
Right.
You know, like, he only kills criminals. I mean, it's hard. Like, and then by the end of the season, whatever, that cop, he's kind of come around to it, but he's still like, I don't know. Like, he's still struggling with this, you know, with the whole moral aptitude of, like, he's still a bad guy. He still kills people. He kills a lot of people in this season.
I bet.
He still kills people. He still does this stuff. But he saved my life, you know? Like, he could have just left me and I wouldn't be chasing him any longer. Instead, he goes back and saves my life.
He's probably saving a lot of other lives.
Right. You know what I mean? Like, so it's kind of like that, but there's an emotional moment at the end that got me a little teary eyed actually. And I was surprised.
Wow.
Yeah. But it ends on a, I'm not going to give away too much. You definitely need to watch. It's worth watching. Yeah. It's really good television, really good writing, a lot of great action. A great couple of storylines that it goes through, and like the Jigsaw, mm-hmm. wasn't the storyline I thought it was going to be. He's not really even the main bad guy against Castle. I mean, he is, but he isn't. It's more of the Homeland Security agent, like the girl that he shot in the head at the end of the first season.
Yep.
It's more like she is out, you know, it's more like she is, you know, wants to get him, Billy, more than Frank does. And it's kind of weird. It's kind of weird.
I thought you were saying the Homeland Security agent was Frank's big nemesis. And I'm like,
no, thank you, nemesis. Yeah. Like, the Jigsaw is basically her nemesis throughout it. And Frank's kind of, but not really. And you'll see why.
Because
and Frank's is this other guy over here.
Yeah.
He has his own kind of storyline thing. And again, that ending... I don't know. It's great. This was really, really good. I really enjoyed it a lot. I thought it was great. And, you know, the ending is
bittersweet.
If they canceled it, it'd be like, okay, they didn't cliffhanger it. He's still out there punishing people, basically.
Good.
But to segue real quick, did you see that Hulu is picking up 4 new shows?
Mm-hmm.
All cartoons.
Mm-hmm.
And it's Marvel cartoons, and I'll get into that later, but the next day, the head of Hulu or whatever said that actually he's interested in picking up Daredevil and Luke Cage and Iron Fist and everything, you know.
He said, it depends on when they're ready and who's going to be working behind them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, Punisher once it's canceled.
Yeah.
But basically, like, so we could see these shows on Hulu.
Mm-hmm.
Because Disney Plus doesn't have any interest in bringing them over there.
But Disney will now own 60% of Hulu. So.
But that's why this new thing is going to be on Hulu. But still, it's still a separate entity from Disney Plus.
Yep.
But, I mean, I think Hulu would only benefit from that.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, they got the Runaways.
Yep.
And now they're going to have these four animated shows.
Yep. And they don't they don't have exclusivity, but you do see Cloak and Dagger on there.
Cloak and Dagger's on there, yeah.
God, I can't wait for that show to come back. Holy crap.
But I don't have those four titles in front of me, do you?
Yes, I do.
Okay, I'll let you talk about it later.
Okay.
But I also watched, I finally got, they put it on Amazon Prime. And it's a show I've been wanting to watch for a long time. I don't know a lot about it, but it was just The Expanse.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's a space show.
Yeah.
But it's not.
No.
It's more a like
a political show.
Yeah, and I watched the first episode, and I was thoroughly disappointed because it's not like a spaceship on a show on a spaceship or whatever. It's more like Total Recall.
Yeah.
Type of thing.
Well, recent Total Recall, not
the old Schwarzenegger one, yeah. The Total Recall 2030 or whatever it was, 21, the TV series one they had, or I guess the more recent movie version one. Yeah. But basically, it's like you're on a foreign planet, but you're in a community down there. It's a procedural political show.
Yeah, there's like three different factions. Yeah. There's the Mars people, the miners, the, you know.
I thought it was going to be more like a Battlestar Galactica type thing.
Which even Battlestar Galactica was very political, but.
But it didn't bother me, which is weird because I hate politics, but right. The way they did it in a good way. But you were still on a spaceship. You were still in space. You still had space battles like this. Yeah. So I watched the first episode and I was like, oh, this is so disappointing.
Yeah.
It was thoroughly disappointing.
I watched it on Sci-Fi, and I watched like the first three or four episodes.
Yeah.
And I felt the same way. Like, I kept waiting for the reason to like it. And I know that I see over and over again all these, you know, sci-fi and nerdy networks, and they're all like, oh, we're so excited that The Expanse is here. Oh, we're so glad to see it back. It's the best drama on TV. It's Game of Thrones in space. I'm like, no, I didn't find it that way either. I was not a big fan. So, yeah, I'm right there with you, man.
Okay. Well,
I watched the Valentine's episode of Big Mouth.
That did pop up, and I was like, should I watch this? Should I not? I probably should, but then I didn't.
It's a double episode, and they even make reference to that. They're like, oh, it's a double episode, folks. It was great.
Nice.
It's Big Mouth. I love the show. Nice. I love the nice thing is that it picks up where we left off at the end of the last season. And keeps those stories going, mm-hmm. With Connie being, you know, what is it, Nick? Connie is Nick's hormone monster.
Yeah.
You know, which is weird because he's a boy. And so, like, he's dealing with things like his nipples keep getting hard and tender and sensitive. And
Jesus.
Yeah. But they're both trying to figure out how this works. So it wasn't just like a one-off, like, oh, we're just going to do Valentine's. They actually kept the stories going, and they're going to, like, it's going to bridge right into the next season, which I'm definitely down for.
Cool.
Yeah.
I don't think I have any other shows to talk about. I just have a couple movies.
I have a couple other shows.
Yeah.
I won't take long, but
it's okay.
Russian Doll, I finished.
Oh, okay. How'd that go?
I don't know.
Really?
It's really weird. It's a really weird show. Like, I can't tell if it's brilliant or stupid. I can't tell if it was just mind-blowing or they locked three guys in three different rooms and said, each of you write this story and we're going to stitch it together later. Like, you should watch it. They're only 24 minutes long each. There's like 8 episodes. You should really watch it. Especially as you start getting towards the end, like, they start doing some weird stuff.
Okay.
I need to talk to somebody about it, because it's just, it's very bizarre, and I don't know how I feel about it, honestly.
All right, I'll struggle through it.
Corporate was awesome again. That's super funny, Comedy Central. This time was The Expense Report, because they went to Business Con, and their expense report shows that they drank 16 margaritas, and the accountant wants to know exactly how that happened. So she's interviewing each of them separately, and they each give this account that it matches up all of their stories, but then she notices something's wrong. It's just, it almost feels like a Usual Suspects kind of thing.
Yep.
It was fun. It was a lot of fun. And the last one, I've watched the first two episodes of this new Hulu original called Pen 15.
Oh, I saw that, like, popping up everywhere all of a sudden.
It's weird.
Yeah.
So it takes place in 2000, and it's these two girls who are 13 years old. They've been best friends their whole lives. They do everything together. And it's a really, really, really awkward show. Like, the people in this show look very realistic. I will say that. These are, I don't want to say ugly people, but they are not attractive people. None of them. Seriously, like, they are very plain. They are very, quote unquote, down to earth. Like, these are average looking people. And they all have weird average lives. And you're following these two girls who are best friends and getting through school, getting through life, getting through, you know, the second episode, they have their first cigarette. They don't actually smoke it, but they carry it around with them. And they're like, whoa, we could be badasses. It's really weird. It's like all the awkward parts of Superbad without any of the sexy fun parts.
Well, the synopsis here says it's described as middle school as it really happened.
It feels like somebody went through this and wanted to journal it in a medium that we could all partake in. It's really weird. I don't know if I like it or not, but I've only seen two episodes. They're short, too. They're like half hour each. But seriously, like, the one thing that I can't get over is that everyone in here is so plain looking. And that's what keeps me going, is it's refreshing, because, you know, I've complained about that before, where everybody in shows is always gorgeous. You know, look at Manifest. Everyone in Manifest is absolutely beautiful.
Am I reading this correctly? These 31-year-old adults are playing their 13-year-old versions of themselves?
I did not know that, but
that's what it says.
Wow.
It stars. It was created by Maya Erskine and Anna Conkle.
Yeah, and that's the characters' names.
And the series stars them as themselves.
Seriously?
Yeah.
Dude, do you see pictures of them? Because
no. There's no pictures on right here on Wikipedia, but it is showing that Maya Erskine is playing Maya Ishii Peters.
Yep.
And Anna Conkle is playing Anna Cohn.
So now you really need to watch this show because, wow. I didn't realize that. They look very young.
Yeah, but does not look like a couple of 31-year-olds.
No. Well, I'm looking at their IMDb page, and actually they look like adults. Wow. So that's even more interesting now. Hmm. And
oh, yeah.
Yeah. Anna.
Just make them look young, I guess.
I guess so. Anna's nickname is Na, which really kind of throws me off. Why wouldn't it be Anna?
Nah, Anna.
Yeah. Nah. So she'd be like, Nah, I want you to come with me.
It's like you call your sister Jew.
Yeah, but that's the first part of her name, not the last part. I don't call her Lee.
Right, I know, but you call your sister Jew in public. Sometimes people, their heads whip around. When you go, hey, Jew, and they look at you like, and she's like, hey, what's up?
Like, I should have a swastika tattooed on me.
Right, yeah. I find it hilarious.
I do, too. Wow. Yeah, watch at least one episode of this show. Okay. I want to talk about this.
Okay.
Because it's weird. R-rated cringeworthy middle school. Yeah, there is a lot of swearing in this. No nudity, but a lot of swearing.
I don't think they could do nudity. They're portraying themselves as 13-year-olds.
Yeah. Plus it's Hulu, so.
Hulu does nudity. We discussed this last week.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Yeah. And as far as shows go, I think that was it for me. Okay. Yeah. Yeah, that's it for shows.
Well, quick news bite. You know, I like EC Comics.
Mm-hmm.
They did Tales from the Crypt, obviously. They've done some others. Well, it looks like a new anthology series coming in is going to be based on weird fantasy.
Really?
Yep. So we're going to get weird fantasy, and then we're getting a biopic about William M. Gaines,
ooh,
who created EC Comics and Mad Magazine,
yeah,
for that matter, yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. So should be interesting to see. I'm trying to remember where it's going to land. I guess I don't know where it's going to land, but there's a production company that's starting production on it, I guess, is what it comes underway. So
okay.
Hive Mind is doing both. So I don't know where the series is going to land, but I'll watch it.
Nice.
So I'll give it a go. In between that and The Twilight Zone, we're getting actual anthology shows back.
Did you watch any movies this week?
I did. I won't. Okay, I'm going to talk about three, but I'm going to talk about five.
I'm going to talk about three, but I'm going to talk about five.
Well, I was going to say I watched five, but I'm going to talk about three, but I'm actually going to talk about all five.
Okay.
So just to get these out of the way, I hadn't watched this in years. I've been wanting to. I finally watched, I guess I watched six. I watched First Blood.
Okay.
Rambo, you know, if you will. And it's weird. It's like I remember watching it. I remember parts of it. That's one of the things I haven't seen in so long. I didn't remember certain parts of it. And for a movie that came out in 1982 originally, it really does still hold up.
Yeah.
And at the end, when he's in the police station and they've got him surrounded and Troutman's trying to talk him down and everything, he goes on this, he does this monologue, which, you know, I can't think of another instance or TV show that's done any better describing PTSDs from veterans coming back from war.
Interesting.
And this is in 1982.
Yeah.
And it's an amazing, like, I don't remember this part at all. I'm doing this whole speech about sitting there with his buddy, and he leaves, and his kid comes in for a shoeshine box. He goes to get him a couple of beers, and then the shoeshine box is rigged to explode, and then he's got pizza, my friend, all over me now, and he's, you know, and I can't find his legs, and I'm covered in, like, this body, I'm covered in my friend's body parts are all over me. I mean, I don't know. It was really powerful, good speech that
probably when you watched it when you were younger, it wasn't that important to you.
Exactly.
So you were like, get more killing.
Yeah. But watching it now, I was just like, wow. And then, so of course, I watched First Blood Part 2. And he kind of gives another little speech at the end of that one, which is more campy to me than the one at the end of First Blood. But again, still a great flick. Really is. One thing I noticed is they both end, the closing credits has, like, one of the worst, I can't remember if it's the same song or not, but it's just, like, you get done watching a war movie where he just killed, in Rambo 2, I don't know, 100-something people, and it ends with, like, a soft melody song, not just, like with words.
Islands in the stream.
No, not even, I wish I could give you, like, more like, oh, Unchained Melody. Okay. Except like a really bad version of a song that's like, you know, that type of, you know, singing.
It's completely inappropriate.
Out of place. No. I watched Predators. The one where they're on the alien planet.
Mm-hmm.
Great flick. I like it. Whatever. But then for new movies that I watched The Girl in the Spider's Web.
The newest one there?
The newest one, yeah. This is not, was it Stieg Larsson or whatever it is. He wrote the original three Millennium series books. And this is the newest story that was written by somebody else.
Gotcha.
You know, but he allegedly assisted Larsson in writing the first three, sort of. Like, he helped him.
Okay.
Anyhow, the estate chose this guy to write this story, and he wrote this story. And it was a pretty good book. It was pretty good. Yeah, I mean, it was a little long, and I can't give it a hard sell by any means, but it was good. It's good.
Yeah. Okay.
I watched
some good revenging and some good killing in it.
Some good revenging, yeah. Did you watch any flicks?
Yep.
What'd you watch?
I watched Polar.
Oh, you did?
Yep.
And?
Well, remember how you were talking earlier about The Punisher and how, you know, it's refreshing to see someone who, you know, when they're going up against trained people,
sure,
they're getting their ass kicked a little bit.
Yeah.
That's not the case with Mads Mikkelsen.
Oh, no, he's a badass. He kills everybody.
100% badass. Immortal, pretty much does whatever he wants. When he's screwing the girl in the cabin and, you know, they go to shoot him and he just happens to know to drop down and thrust up on her and let her get shot right through the tit.
Now, did you not think her team really let her have sex with this guy for a really long time.
A really long time. A
really long time.
Before. Yeah, like, did she say, I need to get at least 5 orgasms out of this before right. you guys come in?
Right.
Yeah. I did like, though, that she didn't immediately die, and she's laying on the floor, like, telling them where he yes. is. So he has to keep rolling out of the way, and then he finally axes her right in the head. But, yeah, it was a lot of that. The torture scenes with Nardole, really disturbing. Yeah. Watching him take those, essentially their cuticle clippers.
Yes.
And dig in and just cut, like, pieces of his flesh. And,
yeah.
Wow. It was really disturbing. And he had, like, a whole story about it and why it was going to take him 4 days to do this. And gross, you know, excessive.
Yeah.
Yeah. Overall, it is what it was, you know. I went into it knowing that it was going to be a ridiculous, over-the-top killing machine like John Wick, but less down-to-earth.
Right.
And, oh, he was.
Now, what did you think about the twist at the end that the new neighbor girl was actually, like, the girl that survived in the car crash from the beginning?
It was a long callback.
Yeah, okay.
You know, it was...
Oh, yeah, no, it was.
It was almost like, you're like, wait a minute, why do I... Oh, wait, that's right. Why do I care?
Now, what did you think of the ending? The ending, where you think that he's like, all right, yeah, you should kill me. I deserve it. You right. know, like, I'm sorry. But you're right. You should absolutely kill me. And then, like, you hear the gunshot, and then it cuts to her standing on the porch, and then he walks out
next to her. Yep, there he is.
Yeah. And then they just kind of leave. So he's like, I don't know if it was him or her, but I was like, so what do you want to do next? It's like, find the guy that, like, gave you the order.
Right.
Okay. And then the fucking drone pans out.
Yeah. You
know, and then they just...
So they set it up for the next
and
one.
And they just, they're left of them just standing on the porch.
Yeah.
Weird, right?
Very weird. Yeah. Like, there was no finality.
No, none whatsoever. It was literally like, tune in next week.
Yeah, that's exactly it. It was like they're setting this up immediately. Like, that's what they call big dick energy. You know, this guy's like, oh, we're getting another movie.
Right.
I'm already writing it right now. We shot the second movie while we were shooting the first one.
Yeah.
Fuck you. You know?
Kind of.
Yeah. I mean, there's cliffhangers, and then there's, like, you don't see cliffhangers in movies very often unless no. they've already announced the next project.
Right.
You know, like a Star Wars movie. You right. might see cliffhangers there because you know that there's stuff coming.
Right.
But, yeah. So, Polar... It's fun for what it is.
Yeah.
Oh, there's lots of creative, good killing. Like when he tells the girl to relax, he's like, relax. You make mistakes when you don't relax. Yeah. And then she exhales and he can see her breath on the thermal imaging.
Yes. Yeah.
Ridiculous. But fun.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
I didn't go into this expecting an Oscar-worthy performance.
It's like the time we went to the movies to go see, was it Live Free or Die Hard, or It's a Good Day to Die Hard, and we're like, I want to see over-the-top ridiculousness, like unbelievable dumb action that would never happen, and it's exactly what we got. And I was like, it was dumb. We're like, this is exactly what we wanted. Yes.
Launching a cop car into a helicopter.
Yes.
Woo! Yep. Yes! Stupid!
Yep.
But that's what I wanted.
Yep.
Yep. I also watched Fire. The documentary on Netflix about the Fire Festival.
Okay, yeah. How was that?
It was creepy. Like, yeah. The whole thing, the way that it went down. Like, I didn't know that much about this. I remember when it went down in real life.
Yeah.
And seeing people, like, flipping their nuts. And my initial reaction was, bunch of rich kids got hosed. Good.
Yeah, I think I remember reading an article in Maxim magazine or something about it. Yeah.
But watching the actual thing and seeing some of the people who were involved... Like, Billy's not in there because Billy is the one who is in charge of the whole thing, and Billy set the whole thing up. And, you know, one of the guys that's there doing the documentary, one of his first lines on camera is, I'm really hoping Billy doesn't end up in jail, you know, because he was a company man. But that guy later on, like, they were talking about all the things that went wrong, and he said, he's being very candid on the camera, and he's like, what was it? Not impound. The airport. Customs.
Yeah.
Customs had all of their water. They had barrels of water. And they had held them. And they were like, no, we're not letting them through. So Billy looked at this guy and said, go take one for the team. Go down there. And the guy that's in charge, suck his dick. And we will get our water. And the guy said, this was not a euphemism. This was not him being sly. Yeah. He goes, I had to have a very serious thought in my head. I had to like look myself in the mirror and say, at my age and the kind of person that I am, yes, I am going to go down. He goes, and I did. I flew down there and I was absolutely ready to suck this man's dick so that we could have this water, so that we could continue with our festival. And I got down there and I met with a guy, and fortunately he was like, no, 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 come here. We'll talk about it. And we talked about it and we made an arrangement. And he goes, but he told me to go suck this guy's dick. And I was going to, like, it was really dirty. It was bizarre. And then
I plan on, it's in my queue. I almost actually started watching it the other night, but instead I watched First Blood.
Yeah. It's definitely a good documentary. They did have one clip there, though, that they showed of one of the nightly shows.
Yeah.
And Ron Funches was talking, and, you know, they basically were talking about how it became a joke. And he's like, you know, a bunch of rich kids getting hosed? Pfft, fuck them. You get that kind of money to be spending on a music concert, and you know, you want us to feel bad for you?
It's funny, or ironic or whatever, but a couple weeks ago, like, that was all over my Twitter, everyone who was watching it, and all blah, 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 blah. And now this week, it's in plain sight.
Which one's that?
It's about the little girl, the girl that was abducted by her neighbor twice, right during the daytime. What? In front of, yeah.
Oh, wow.
So.
What else did you watch for movies?
The Sisters Brothers.
Oh, yeah, you said you wanted to see that.
Yeah.
In fact, you were going to watch that after we recorded last week.
I did. I watched them both after we recorded last week.
Both the Sisters Brothers?
The girl in the spider's web. Oh. Sisters Brothers, yeah.
And?
Never have to watch that again.
That good, huh?
It just wasn't. No, it wasn't. It wasn't that good at all. The book's better. And I know, oh, the book's always better. But, I mean, the book's better for a reason. If the narrative of the book, when you're reading it, you get more story. It kind of makes more sense as opposed to watching the movie. And I don't know. Yeah, the movie just wasn't very good.
Well, that's too bad.
Yeah. Wasn't very good at all.
Okay. Sorry. So,
yeah. Oh, well. Can't win them all. Did you watch any of the movies?
I watched The Incredibles 2, because that's on Netflix.
It's on Netflix. What'd you think?
I liked it.
Nice.
I liked the first Incredibles a lot.
I did, too.
You know, I thought it was great. The second one, it's more of the same.
Yes.
It's very predictable, but it's fun. I'll tell you this. This kind of took me by surprise. In the first Incredibles, you know, when Syndrome takes off at the very end with Jack-Jack, and Jack-Jack transforms and, like, beats the crap out of Syndrome, does all those transformations, then falls back down to Earth. Apparently, nobody in the family saw that, because they're all very shocked in this to learn that he has powers.
Okay.
Like, they all, oh, my God, Jack-Jack has powers? Oh, my God. So apparently, they didn't see that happening up there. And then when he fell, you know, and Robert threw the wife, Helen, and she caught him and parachuted him down. You know, he had turned back by then. So, but it's good. The theme of this one is that people are trying to get superheroes unillegalized, because, you know, that was the whole thing in the first one, that superheroes were illegal. So now people are working to get them unillegal.
Okay.
Yeah. I dig it. If you,
like those Pixar movies, yes, I do. Definitely check it. Watch it.
Yep.
I watched on Shudder. I watched Mayhem. It's got Glenn from Walking Dead in it.
Stephen Young.
Yeah. Basically, Mayhem is about, I guess you could call it, a rage virus. There's this, I don't know if it takes place, I can't remember what time frame it takes place in, but basically there's this virus. And it spreads, and they've created an antivirus to it, but it kind of takes 8 hours to take effect. And essentially what it is they're in this big office building, they're lawyers, this and that, and the virus gets in there, the CDC finds out about it, because all big public buildings have air testers, and if it triggers that the virus is in this place, then they shut it down and quarantine it to keep it isolated. And then they pump in, like, the vaccine that they have for, but it doesn't, it's not a vaccine, it's a, you know, the antidote, if you will, but it takes like 8 hours to take effect. And basically there's, they explain it that it shuts down a part of your brain that function like your filter, your control.
Okay. And inhibitions.
Thank you. Yeah. And it basically makes you rage and assault people and get angry. And
so they invented alcohol?
It's a thing basically where like, if, like it, normally you get pissed off at someone and you picture you want to stab them in the throat, but you don't do it. Right?
Right.
Well, when you have this virus problem affecting you, you do it.
Oh, okay.
And they had a guy that got murdered. The first time someone murdered a guy, you know, being under the influence or whatever, basically he got off on a temporary insanity plea and he was found not liable because he had this virus in him at the time when he did it.
Hmm.
So, Stephen Young's character basically, gets fired at the beginning of the movie. He gets set up and fired and he's pissed off. And now the virus is in the building. Now he wants to take his revenge. And he's got to figure out how to get up to these secure penthouse areas by getting key cards from these different people so he can get his revenge.
So it's like a video game.
It basically is. It's kind of, yeah, it basically is. You have to, you know what? It really is because you have to defeat like two sub bosses before you get to the main boss.
And different key cards for different doors.
Or three sub bosses before you get to the main boss or whatever, you know? Nice. It's almost like, oh, thanks, Mario, but the princess is in a different castle. Like, that's, you know. I really liked it a lot. I thought it was a great flick. I think you should definitely watch this.
You didn't order this one on Amazon?
No, I did not order this one straight away after. I didn't like it that much. Oh. Not like Summer of 84. But, this is a great flick. Hilarious, at times, very violent. I mean, like, again, they don't have a filter to themselves. They can't control their inhibitions or whatever. Like, they just.
Because it sounds like alcohol.
You know, like, they just go ape shit. And there's lawyering being done in it. Like, I kept pitching Marshall Erickson going, lawyered at different times, you know.
Nice.
But, yeah. It's a great flick.
Nice.
It's really good. It's really fucked up, but in a great way.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Like the Belko experiment?
Yes.
Fucked up, but in a really good way? Yeah,
exactly. Yes.
That's all I'm thinking about when you're talking about like lawyers and a building.
Yeah, it's basically like the Belko experiment. Hmm. Yep. Fucked up, but in a really great way. And there's a timer like they keep putting on the screen because basically it's like, all right, we got 8 hours to get up there for me to kill that fucking guy. And then my time's up and I'm not like, you know, I can be held liable for my actions type of thing. That's what it comes down to. Yeah.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. It's yeah. There's a character on there. He's the HR rep. Oh my God. There's a couple of characters that like you want to see them murdered. And, you know, you definitely want to see them just fucking dead. And then, when it happens, you're just like, yeah, like, you know, I mean, it's bad. The boss is all like, not only does he have like this rage virus thing going on, but he loves himself cocaine. So he's really making it bad. Yeah.
How's his heart not exploded?
Right. Exactly. So it's great. It's great. I highly recommend this movie.
Awesome.
Just because it's fun. Hopefully you like people dying because there's a lot of people killed in this movie.
I know I do.
That's it for me.
Trailers? Yeah, I'm going to name a couple and you're going to go, oh yeah.
Yeah.
Child's Play.
Yeah, you sent me that one. Yep.
I'm really torn here.
Yes.
They changed the origin story completely. Now, here's what's interesting, too.
They really did.
In the movie, they're rebooting it, and the origin story is going to be that he's a rogue AI.
You know,
all these, basically the dolls are Alexas. You know, they're supposed to be smart helpers for around the home. They can log into your Wi-Fi. They have like 20 cameras on them to scan your children.
Yeah.
They know what they like. They've got voice recognition. And he gets introduced some code that makes him a killer.
Right.
They're also doing a Child's Play TV series on Sci-Fi that is supposed to keep with the original story of Charles Lee Ray inhabiting his soul, inhabiting the body of the doll.
That's all. Oh, that's interesting.
That's interesting. I'm assuming that even if you didn't watch it, you've heard about the new Aladdin trailer.
Actually, I did watch that. And after I got done watching, I went, I don't need to watch that.
Nope. I love the Aladdin movie.
Yep.
Okay. That was, granted, I was... the story of my life, I'm always a little bit older than the target market for whatever I'm enjoying.
Yes.
So, like, I was in probably high school when Aladdin came out. So I was not a Disney kid, but Aladdin, Lion King. Like, I love those. I had the soundtracks. I had them memorized. I'm a fucking nerd. I know. I'm doing a podcast about watching TV shows, so I already know these things.
Yeah.
I played video games nonstop. But anyway, I loved Aladdin. And to see this, I'm like, I don't need to see this in live action. It's the same thing with the quote-unquote live-action Lion King, which is all CGI. And that's what kills me, is that the live-action Lion King...
Beauty and the Beast was good.
I didn't watch it.
I will say I watched it with my daughter, and, well, we all watched it together as a family, but we watched it because of Addison. And Kate's favorite Disney movie is Beauty and the Beast, and she actually... but she actually really liked it as well. The Beauty and the Beast was good. But yes, sorry to interrupt you. I'm with you. The live-action Lion King is fucking a cartoon.
And if they can do all of that as CGI, why couldn't they have made the genie CGI and just had Will Smith voice him? Why did it have to be Will Smith in blueface?
Yeah.
This is ridiculous.
Yeah.
There's no reason behind it. A lot of the internet is pissed off, and I can understand it. I don't know if you saw, there was a teaser for a new movie called Tolkien.
I did watch that as well, and I went, meh.
Yeah, I like Tolkien. I like his works.
Yeah.
I don't know that I need to see this. It might be something that I watch in the background sometime. Two trailers that I didn't expect. One's called The Hustle. It's got Anne Hathaway and, oh God, I just forgot her name. Fat Amy on Pitch Perfect. I know everyone's yelling at their phones right now. Rebel Wilson,
yeah.
Okay. It's a remake, essentially, of Dirty Rotten Scoundrels.
Oh.
In fact, they even say something at the end of the trailer about, you know, we're ready to get dirty and rotten on people's money.
Yeah.
But Anne Hathaway is the high class, high society Michael Caine, and Rebel Wilson is the Steve Martin.
Okay.
And, you know, Anne Hathaway kind of takes her under her wing to teach her that you can do bigger cons. And it looks funny. I'll probably check it out when it comes on HBO or something.
Yep.
The other one, I don't think I'll ever watch, but it was just so unique, and I hadn't heard about it that I wanted to mention it. It's called Yesterday. And something happens where all the power goes out in the world at once. Mm-hmm. And when it comes back, this guy, who's the main character, he's a bit of a musician, plays guitar, piano, stuff like that, discovers that nobody in the world knows who the Beatles are. They never existed. He is the only one who remembers them, and he remembers all of their songs. Mm. So he starts, air quoting, writing these songs. Like, he's sitting there, and he's playing a song and around a table for a bunch of people, and they're like, oh my God, that's amazing. And he's like, the Beatles wrote it. And they're like, who are the Beatles? And this is when he discovers it. So he becomes very rich and famous, but it's not a comedy, but it seems like a dramedy.
Anyone in it we know?
No. It's a drama, and he wants to bring the music of the Beatles to the world because he feels like the world is a worse place without it, but he's writing it, so he's also getting famous on it. You know, at one point they're like, because the Beatles had so many songs, you know, he's releasing some of them at a time, and like, he's on one of these late night shows, and they're like, go ahead, just write something for us right now. Write something right now. And he just starts ripping off some Beatles lyrics, just blah, 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 and they're like, how do you do this?
Yeah.
So it's got some comedic
elements,
but I don't know. Like I said, I don't need to see it. It just seemed like a really interesting thing. Those are the trailers. Mike's falling asleep over here.
No, I'm not.
The only other two things that I had were pieces of news.
Yep.
One that you had talked about earlier. I'll get to that in a second.
Yeah, okay.
For some ungodly reason, Comedy Central is reviving Crank Anchors.
Why?
I don't know. But they're going back to the original creators, Adam Carolla and Jimmy Kimmel.
Yeah.
And some other guy. So they're having them do it, and they said that it's going to be updated to be digital age friendly. So text messages, voice chats, FaceTime, stuff like that. Hmm. I don't know why.
Yeah, I don't have a need for this.
I don't either. And then the last one that you were talking about earlier, Marvel and Hulu team up for adult animated shows. They have four different shows coming out. First one's going to be Marvel's MODOK,
yep,
which is Mental Organism Designed Only for Killing. MODOK was a weirdo because MODOK was basically a giant head with little tiny arms and legs. He had to have like a floating chair to move around because his head was comically large. Took up his whole torso. Centered around an egomaniacal supervillain with a really big head and a really little body who attempts to maintain control of his evil organization and family. MODOK is being written by Jordan Bloom and Patton Oswalt. Produced by Jeff Loeb. So that's kind of cool. Hitmonkey, often associated with Deadpool, follows a wronged Japanese snow monkey who is mentored by the ghost of an American assassin. How does that not sound awesome?
Right?
He fights his way through the Tokyo underworld in what's described as a dark, cinematic, and brutally funny revenge saga. It's being written by Josh Gordon and Will Speck, and Will Speck will also executive produce with Jeff Loeb. Tigra and Dazzler.
Yep.
It's about two woke superheroes and best friends who fight to be recognized among other powered people in Los Angeles.
I'm very interested to see what they do with the Dazzler, if she's got the old 1970s gear on or if they're going to update her.
One thing that bothers me about this, though, it's being written by Erica Rivenoja, who I don't know who that is, and Chelsea Handler.
Okay.
And they're also executive producing with Jeff Loeb. The final one is Marvel's Howard the Duck. Follows the titular anthropomorphic, ill-tempered fowl who is trapped in a world he never made and hopes to return home with the help of his unstoppable gal pal, Beverly, before Dr. Bong can turn him into the crispiest dish on the menu. Howard the Duck is being written by Dave Willis and Kevin Smith.
Yes.
And they're executive producing with Jeff Loeb. Then, ultimately, all of these characters will be forced to team up to save the world in certain parts of the universe as The Offenders, which will also be produced by Loeb. Yeah. So, it's cool.
Cool. Yeah.
Yeah. It's cool that they're going that deep. I really want to see Hitmonkey.
Yeah, me too.
Like you said, I'm curious to see because Dazzler was one of those heroes who kind of got made fun of a lot because she basically had light powers.
Yeah, but you know what's weird about her? She got her solo comic story.
Mm-hmm.
Like I just saw this recently, like 7 years before Wolverine got his.
That makes sense, though. She came out in the comics before a lot of the big ones. Like, she was one of the early, early ones. I remember seeing her on, like, Spider-Man and His Amazing Friends.
Yep.
But that'll be interesting.
And Marvel Zombies vs. Army of Darkness, she's, like, Ash's sidekick until she gets zombified.
Which is awesome.
She eats some boomstick.
Yeah. You have to at that point.
Pretty much.
Well, that's all I got this week.
That's all I got this week, too.
All right.
Cool. I'm sure we'll have more to talk about next week. Oh, that's what we do. We talk about different stuff on a weekly basis.
Right.
I think you know my Twitter. I'm Superstar Mel.
I'm the Quantum Geek, G33K.
That's the show, everybody. Good night. That's your line.
You took it.
Say
it. Well, it's too late now. People heard us say our Twitter handles. They're like, stop. That I'm not listening anymore. Anything right here. Banana pudding.
Banana pudding?
Yep.
That's gross.
Banana pudding.
Like tapioca.
I said it. Tapioca's gross. Just get those little balls in it. I don't want balls in my mouth.
So wasn't banana pudding.
I don't like balls in my mouth.
I don't like balls in my mouth either.
Well, now it's officially on record, but nobody's listening. If anybody is listening, then kudos to banana pudding. And no balls in our mouth.
Balls in the smell.
That's right.
Cool.
Now you can stop.